Anthony drives one high into center field. Hessing is back at the wall. Gone, Roman Anthony. A two-run homer to straightaway center, and it is 5-1 Red Sox. On the right side, Gonzalez gloves. He throws to first. And time, game over. The Red Sox roll continues.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Ooh-wee. I can't decide what's hotter right now. The weather outside or those Boston Red Sox. It was a steamer last night as the Red Sox got things rolling against the Colorado Rockies. Final score, 9-3, but right about now you can get outside and fry an egg on the sidewalk. Oh, got to go to the store. Got to grab the bread and milk. That's because you can go home and make a freaking casserole or a souffle in your driveway. This is one of those days where if you're outside mowing the lawn, you regret those decisions. It's one of those days where a movie from the 70s or the 80s opens, and in a montage, you just see sweltering cars, people grabbing do-rags and patting down their heads. You see kids running through fountains and sprinklers, and you wish you had gone to the local department and store and spent the $25 on the slip and slide that you know absolutely would have broken after three uses by the kiddos. So the best way to keep cool is stay inside, pump up the AC, fill up the kiddie pool with some ice and cold bevs, and from 2 to 6, lock it in to WEEI Afternoons. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, on the helm today alongside the ball game, the ball hawk, Danny Ballgame. From 2 to 3, 3 o'clock, boom, Big Ted tags in.
Yeah, do you mind, bro?
No, I'm not, because Ted Johnson joins the party at 3 o'clock today. We'll have our three-point stances. You know what happens at 4 o'clock. It's football o'clock. We'll talk some New England Patriots, NFL, and more. 5 p.m., we got the 5 o'clock drive, odds and ends, and everything you need to stay up to date as a diehard Boston sports superfan. The numbers, the procedurals, the information, all that, we got you. 617-779-7937 to text or give a call to the program. Very much looking forward to hearing from the likes of Bob from Warwick, who hates the Red Sox and loves to remind us on a daily basis, or anyone who's got 10 digits on the phone or on the rotary. He's Dan, what's your tweet? What's your tweeter again there, pal?
Just at Dan Ball. Very simple, except for the last two letters when you try to spell it like any other ball and you get it wrong.
That's right. It's Dan Ball.
Yes.
Dan Ball.
Amazing how many people can mispronounce one syllable. I've learned that one over the years.
That's still pretty cool, though. You got your actual name as a Twitter handle. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't happen for a lot of people.
I know. I didn't have to come up with a rap tag in order to get my own name, unfortunately.
Not like Dan Ball 45698.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Stiz, your last name isn't at Who Is My Dad?
No, and it's not Grimy either.
And you don't like when people call you Stiz Bruno either.
Oh, which... I hate, say one or the other. Say my government name or like my nickname.
Stiz,
don't
Stiz
mix
could
them.
Not,
I hate
that,
it.
Okay, we're going to open with the great take siren, because when people call me, oh yeah, it's Nick Fitzy or Fitzy Stevens. No, it's Nick. I say Fitzy in the middle because people know me as from the years of YouTubery or when I used to be the Joker on the Jumbotron at Gillette Stadium on Pats games, et cetera, people know me as that diehard Boston superfan, Fitzy. I am still a diehard Boston superfan and always will be, but my name is Nick Stevens, so I kind of go by Nick Fitzy Stevens. I'm Nick Stevens, or you can call me Fitzy, but the fusion of the two together, yeah, I'm not into that. You don't have a nickname that anybody fuses into some sort of like port nickname toe, do you, Dan?
Not that I'm aware of. I have not met anybody who can say my first name without including my last name. It is almost never just Dan. It's Dan Ball. Apparently that's what it has to be. But you've come up with a number of them since I got hired at WEEI. I am the ball hawk. I am the ball gag when I am funny, yep. Which is rare. And so I continue to add them to the resume.
As you should. And yesterday, as we found out, Will Fleming actually liked some of those on the fly nicknames that I gave to him, like the clairvoyant of Kenmore Square, the loudmouth
like
of Lansdowne.
I wear
Street.
That t-shirt. I maintain that.
Cassandra, oh, that's what it, but see, if I called him the Cassandra of Kenmore Square, Cassandra being the clairvoyant in Greek mythology that nobody listened to, and then everything she said came true, it would have been, You know, the funny thing is, Stiz, Will Fleming would have got it, and he would have understood it. But no, you got to make fun of me.
I wouldn't buy that T-shirt, though.
I would not buy that. Nerds! That's right. We will get to actually some of our interview yesterday with Will Fleming. And if you get a chance, folks, I highly recommend either subscribing to the WEEI Afternoons podcast, which, of course, is available on Spotify, Apple Pods, the iHeart app, or wherever you find awesome baseball talk. Listen to the conversation yesterday on the WEEI Afternoons in the 5 o'clock hour, or use the Odyssey app, or stay tuned to us from 2 to 6 and make sure you get the best of it, because he had some juicy nugs, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But Dan, let's open up with last night's win. We had talked about how the Red Sox came in hotter than the sidewalks of downtown Boston, or Eastie, as Wiggy likes to remind us. Winners of 4 straight, 5 of 6, 7 more to go before the All-Star break. They were 46 and 45 before last night's game. Now they are 47 and 45, which makes them, let's see, the tote board. They now need to go 45 and 25.
It's getting a little better. It's a little easier to digest.
Day by day, it's getting more manageable, more doable-ish, especially when you have games like last night where your Red Sox win, final score 9-3. They went up against the legend of Gomber. And of course, you had old Dickie Fitz on the mound for the Sox, who almost got himself into a little bit of trouble early, leaning on the slider a little too much, couldn't command the fastball the first couple innings. But the Red Sox seemed to jump on Gomber early last night. Nate Eaton, who, by the way, is quickly weaving his way into, you may be one of those sneaky mid-season, where did this guy come from? You know, heroes, legends, names you remember, kind of like the Daniel Navas of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, of course, you got a team full of them with Romy, my homie Gonzalez, Abraham, Toro, and a whole cavalcade of others that have helped fill in while you have had Casas out for the season, Bregman out for a while, and Rafael Devers on the West Coast ignoring the orders to come and take fielding practice from Will Clark.
Not great.
Not great. Not a great look. Not a great look for $31 million a year when you had a bad rap for being a selfish teammate on the East Coast that dealt you away on Father's Day, no less. So in that first inning, Nate Eaton dongs one off the ladder, which is like, which is almost unheard of and impossible. I know they were talking on the broadcast like that's a one in a billion shot. The odds might be a little bit lower, and it ultimately wasn't his ball that dented the ladder out and left. But the Sox could have made a big inning in the first inning. They ran themselves, Dan, into a little bit of trouble. Then, thanks to an unforced error on kind of a bad throw by Trevor Story, or, you know, should Toro have grabbed it? I'm not really sure. There's a short hop and error. Colorado goes up 1-0. And I want to say that the Red Sox of a few weeks ago, Dan, may have allowed that to spiral and turn into, hey, how the hell did this get to be 4-0 Colorado? That team stinks. We're supposed to sweep these guys. They come back with 3 in the bottom of the second, seize control of the game, a couple of long Johnsons, and especially a monstrous, towering blast from Roman Anthony later, which you heard in the join. Sox go up big. My guy Whitlock comes in, and I believe you texted me and said he was what last night?
He was, I think the term I went with was nails, but it also feels like he is fully back, which is happening at the picture-perfect time for this group too, Fitzy, because as Greg Weiser, it looks like he is simply on E, if not the, you know, the Seinfeld episode when they're testing the car and it's past the E on the gas gauge. But he's cooked. Slayton's cooked. Bernardino was kind of phantom IL during the month of June, So having Whitlock makes it a whole lot easier to try to get through some of these tighter games as you're missing some of your higher leverage arms.
Correct. And Whitlock, the phrase that you used last night was, the text actually read, Fitzy, your boy Whitlock is dialed.
Oh,
and dialed was in all caps.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I had the option to do kind of the boom effect on the text, but I figured the capitals would get it done.
We go now to the etymology and urban slang department with Stiz Grimey, a.k.a. Stanley Bruno. Stiz, if something is dialed, what does that mean?
Just can't miss. Just dialed in. Laser focused, or as my buddy Lyndon Byers would say, laser show.
Oh. Laser. Okay, that's what I figured. I just wanted to make sure. I'd never heard it as just dialed. I've heard dialed in, obviously, previously so, but okay. So
yeah, but the cool kids drop the in, so just right. Dialed.
Or whatever, however you would describe me. But the point that you bring up about Eaton, Fitzy, is an interesting one, because the Red Sox are quietly kind of assembling their, what would be if this team makes the playoffs, and I know there's still a long way to go, but what would be a pretty solid group of bench Avengers. You have the ultimate lefty pitcher platoon specialist in Rob Refsnyder. You have a guy in Toro who I think would ideally be a bench piece, but a good one with pop. It can play the corners. And Eaton, speedster, plays everywhere, can hit at the top of the lineup, seems to bring everything that they pictured David Hamilton would bring this year. So as you sort out who's playing, who's coming up, who's going down with Bregman and Yoshida coming back, Eaton deserves a look. I'm Eaton over Hamilton all day long at this point.
Yeah, listen, David Hamilton is a Cape Cod Baseball League legend, played for the YD Sox, my home team down there on the silly little sandbar. However, if I saw less Hamilton, more Eaton the rest of the way, with all due respect to the Andy Harts of the world who have welcomed him into his muscular Jaylen Brown jersey covered, actually naked arms, that's cool. I think, to me, Dan, a guy like David Hamilton screams less is more, and I'm not saying like let's have Eaton and Toro and Romy and everybody else starting on a regular basis,
right?
But certain ponds you can see get overfished quickly. Certain vehicles have driving limitations where the gear, it's like he might be golf cart fast. It's quick on a short burst, but it can't get you over the long haul,
right?
And I feel like the more David Hamilton you see, the less the returns might be. Good, potentially good pinch runner, maybe a defensive replacement in the eighth or the ninth, but I don't want to see him out there for long stretches. But let's not get into the weeds or the minutia of these particular Red Sox. Let's talk about the real star of the night last night. I gotta tell you, yesterday there were some titters and giggles, almost guffaws when I mentioned when we had Will Fleming on the show in the 5 o'clock hour, when I said right now that the Roman Anthony's poise and the fact that he just looks built for this, made for the moment, etc., could be, remind you of like an early Freddie Lynn with Bryce Harper. Like the way he just stands in there, it looks like he was born holding a baseball bat, right?
No question. That was a high bar to set for the young kid a month into it. Yaz Jr. out here, but I appreciate the optimism where you're coming from, if nothing else.
But like last night, okay, as the DH, and he said, he's been getting used to DHing a little bit more, but on the post game, he said he would play left field, right field, center field, DH. By the way, side note, first of the show, thank you very little. Mm-hmm. Anytime a player says first base, second base, third base, shortstop, left field, right field, center field, DH, I'm just going to say that runs in opposite of a certain someone else who used to play for this ball club, because we're trying to go at least one whole show without mentioning that other person's name. But last night, Roman Anthony as DH, 5 at bats, 2 runs scored, 3 hits, 2 RBI, and 1 long ass home run to dead center that got the Fenway faithful into a froth and lather last night. That was absolutely spectacular. Dan, I think you put the stats in our rundown right now as well. Roman Anthony is hitting .386 with a .994 OPS in his last 10 games. That is bananas. His batting average in that time has gone from .128 to .250. His OPS from .548 to .751. And he has multiple hits in 3 of his last 4 games. I'm not going to start leaning on the Rook to be the entirety of the offense or the centerpiece of these oddball, expendable, reconfigured, hey, who the hell are these Red Sox of 2025? But is it fair to say now that this kid is growing up rapidly before our eyes and starting to give hope to this offense that has been legitimately productive over the last 10?
I mean, it's fair to say. Second, as much as your comparisons might have been a little bit pie in the sky, the early returns, the early returns after the first, call it, 2-ish weeks of the Roman Anthony experience are certainly paying dividends. And this is proof positive. This is why we were so concerned, Fitzy, about the story that came out after they called up Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony about them only playing against right-handers. Mm-hmm. And why it kind of bugs me that now we haven't seen Marcelo start 3 games in a row because of the lefties, because they abandoned that and allowed Roman Anthony to play every day, allowed him to make his mistakes, to overrun a ground ball in right field, to strike out 3 times against Brian Wu in his changeup. And now he's growing his way into playing every day and being a star. And it was Will Fleming who talked about it with Arcan in the pregame yesterday, talked about how he has the poise, he has the competitiveness, he kind of has that makeup of a guy who isn't really worried about hitting third and being the face of the franchise a month into his MLB career. So every single return so far has been extremely positive. He'll go through a slump at some point. They'll find a hole in his swing that they'll try to expose. But for now, lefties, righties, no matter where he's playing, I love everything that this kid is bringing. And I love that he gets right back into the dugout, Fitzy. And who's the first person he goes to talk to? St. Bregman, to see what he can do better next time.
Listen, it's getting out of hand again, Bregmania. The way that it was just overrunning in late February and into March, how much they loved him down in Florida, and he bought the suits on the trip, and then he comes to the majors, has a few errors early on, but then the bat turns on, and he's hyper-productive. Now you can see why they spent $40 million. People are calling him a coach. He's an assistant manager. He's the guru, the spirit animal of this team. More Bregman in his ear. Hell, dude, I would deal away the player that shall not be named and get a bag of balls and a case of Funyuns in return if that just meant I could put Bregman in his ear for the rest of this year and the years to come, because he is paying off in dividends even when he's not on the field. And now, as we're coming to learn, it looks like he may be coming back much sooner than we had anticipated. According to recent reports, and I believe, was this confirmed in the pregame show was this confirmed last night by Alex Cora, Dan, that Yoshida will be back tomorrow night and Bregman could be back before the All-Star break?
This is a little Monday pregame scuttlebutt that was coming out from the fantastic group of reporters. Those reports started coming out. So both of those are within 24 hours worth of recent.
By the way, this was also another nugget presented to us by Will Fleming yesterday. Seidan Rafaela, he is now from the Stats and Research Department, is presented by Danny Ballgame. Rafaela is the first Red Sox number 9 batter with a home run in 3 straight games since, of all people, well, would you look at this? How about that? Red Sox broadcaster extraordinaire Will Middlebrooks, all the way back in September of 2013. I'm so glad that Roman Anthony, Dan, is being given a chance to grow up, make his mistakes, face lefties, face righties, play when it's hot, play when he's cold, whatever, because this guy is going to be the tentpole of this team, of the Fenway franchise, for a long time to come. Do you wonder if there was a little, like the way Christian Campbell got out the gate and then stumbled badly, thus necessitating a trip to Worcester for a little while? Do you think maybe there was a little sort of Campbell gun shy that had them not putting Roman Anthony in against the lefties at first, and also has led them not to play Marcelo Meyer against the lefties early on?
I think they're kind of independent of each other. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm sure that's kind of a cautionary tale for how they handle some of their quickly rising prospects moving forward. But I think all of this goes back directly or indirectly to the algorithm that the Breslow front office is spitting out. I think they look at the platoon ability of Romy Gonzalez and Rob Refsnyder and say, that gives us statistically a better chance to win, ignoring the importance of consistency for these young kids, ignoring the fact that playing every day will allow true elite athletes to get better. I just think it was a statistical look, which bugged me to no end, because there are certain players on this roster that are worth platooning, and I fully get that. But Roman Anthony, in a year where, yeah, you had playoff aspirations, but you're quickly becoming a 500 team again, that's not the kid you platoon. That's not the kid you really need to protect, especially because he had better splits against lefties than righties down in the minors. So I'm very thankful that they got out of their own way on that, because I can't live in a world where both of those prospects are only hitting against righties. Where would this team be if they stuck to that hard and fast? I don't want to know.
Well, like tonight, poor A. Hemplo, on the bump, I believe, for the Colorado Rockies, is a gentleman by the name of Kyle Freeland, who is 1-9 with a 5.49 ERA. He is, shockingly, as most teams have tried to reconfigure their rotations against the lefty-centric Boston Red Sox of 2025.
Right.
He is a southpaw. So does that mean that you have to sit all your lefties because a guy
with a 5.5 ERA, which he's earned by having people from either side of the plate knock him around the old ball yard this year. Is this another game that necessitates sitting down the lefties just because? I would say nay, good sir.
I hope you're right, but I think that's what it's going to continue to, at least some of them. They've been better. They haven't sat Anthony, which has been great. They've started to play Abreu every day, which has been better. They've started to sit Duran, which I think is really interesting as it pertains to what Will Fleming told us about his potential to be traded yesterday. All of a sudden, no longer the everyday X outfielder, no longer the everyday leadoff hitter. It's an interesting bit of tipping their hand, but for me, the focus goes to Meyer, and I really feel like you're doing the kid a disservice if you're going to call him up to the majors and just sit him because teams are lining up their starting rotations with a bunch of lefties. So if he sits again, that's, I think, four games in a row where he's not starting. I start to wonder, what's he gaining from sitting on the bench at the major league level versus let's have him work out these apparent holes in his game lefty on lefty down somewhere where he can play every day. Maybe that's too, I don't know, is that too strong of a reaction to that?
I don't believe so at all, Senator. I think that's actually a most appropriate reaction. And if you were to take a poll online, at the Cask and Flagon, or in the stands at Fenway, regardless of the temperature, you would probably, I imagine, get 8 to 9 fans out of 10, Dan, that would probably say, I say you just let the kids play. Because what do you got to lose? The funny answer to that is ball games. But they're showing the resilience and intelligence to adapt quickly at the major league level. And again, the reinforcements are on their way. Yoshida, likely tomorrow, is confirmed through the pool of reporters by Alex Cora. And of course, perhaps, just perhaps this weekend, a little splash of Bregmania. And wouldn't just one, just what if he just gets one, like two games as DH, or just like a pinch hit and a one game as a DH, just to remind you of what's to potentially come when they resume the schedule with their first game after the All-Star break, which is next week, folks, Friday against the Cubbies out at Wrigley. Wouldn't that just be grand?
I would. The things I'd do is the only way I'd answer to that. Just to get him a couple of live games, even if he's DHing, I think that's a nice way to ease him back. And he's already said he's not going to participate in the All-Star game. He'll, you know, continue to focus on his rehab. So if he gets what are essentially a couple simulated games for him at the end of the weekend, hitting against the Rays, feel the excitement and the energy of Major League action again, and then gets the better part of a week to finish up whatever recuperation he needs and be back at third base start of the second half, love every single bit of that plan. Anthony into Alex Bregman in the lineup every single day for me, please, Fitzy.
As someone with only a couple of restraining orders against you, Dan, I don't think anyone wants to really imagine those things that you would do. But yeah, I'm just as excited as you are, my friend. These are good times. Your Boston Red Sox, winners of, what is that, 6 of their last 7?
Mm-hmm.
6 games to go before the All-Star break. 14 hits last night. Yeah, they struck out 10 times, but they also built a nice lead. 3 home runs, 9 runs scored. And tonight, in the sweltering early summer dog days heat, at Fenway Park, they take on the Colorado Rockies. We're confident they should be looking good and put up some numbers tonight. How are you folks feeling? You are just 10 numbers away at 617-779-7937. When we come back on the other side of a trend, we'll talk about yesterday's stunningly viral interview with our pal Will Fleming, the voice of your Boston Red Sox, on the player that shall not be named, was dealing him away a true feather in Craig Breslow's cap. We will find out soon. But first, let's talk to Dan Ball. He's got what's trending.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Not close. They're way there. And I think that is full-on balls-on-the-table move.
Yep.
To trade that guy, I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Raffy didn't show up. They had to move on. And so, Fitzy, to answer your question, this group has moved on.
Wow. Just hearing it again, that was Red Sox radio voice, friend of the afternoon show and beyond, Will Fleming, in response to my question, if he had felt that the Red Sox had now finally moved on emotionally from Rafael. All right, I said he who I was going to. I forgot, Dan. I'm sorry.
All right, so now that it's out there, I have a proposal.
Okay.
So mentioned in the Twitch chat just a few moments ago, over my shoulder to the right is a Rafael Devers bobblehead on the shelf in the studio. Do we as a show make the decree that we are moving on from Devers by moving Devers out of the studio?
Oh, see, the problem is, like, the Greg Hill Show has put together the bobblehead row, whatever else. So, like, I don't know if they're going
to... Oh, is there hell to pay if I disrupt something behind me?
Maybe we should make, like a little sign we can put around the Devers bobblehead neck that says traitor.
That's right.
And then we'll just leave it there and then
shame.
See what happens. Yeah, shame.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, we should get a pic... No, yeah, we should get a picture of... the lady who was Hannah Woodenridge, whatever her name was, who was in Ted Lasso, she played the shame lady from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
We should just print up a small one and put it next to Raphael.
We'll just give him a scarlet
shame.
Letter in the corner over here.
Shame.
Yeah.
No, we need like one of those flip calendars that we can put in the studio, like 0 days, 1 day since Raphael Devers was mentioned on the afternoon show or something like that. But
I had a counter that we used on the Arcan version of this show that was blank days since Gerard Mayo's last walk back. So maybe I can I can retrofit that as 0 days since a Devers mentioned. Speaking of Fitzy, Raphael Devers mentioned by Will Fleming.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Yes. So that that kind of made its way through the interwebs, through talk radio, the blogosphere, and beyond yesterday, Dan, when Will Fleming mentioned on our show that Raphael Devers kind of didn't respond to Will Clark, kind of blew him off and didn't show up for a chance to practice and get in some reps at first base, where he famously refused to play in Boston, one of the many reasons that ultimately necessitated his trade out of town from the East Coast to the West Coast. And he does not respond to a San Francisco Giants legend, somebody who was just an all around, like a one of those guys who looked, Dan, like a perfect quintessential ball player and truly is one of the best fielding first basemen of all time.
Didn't he call him the thrill for nothing.
For baseball reasons, for sure. And then some. Will Clark, one hell of a ball player. And anyone, you know, your age, my age and beyond knows that name by heart. So Will Fleming says that on our show. My jaw drops, as you can see in the video clip, if you subscribe to at WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart was laughing, mostly, I think, just because that feeds into Hart's whole entire idea that Devers is a dink. Spoiler alert, he is. And so then, as we come to learn, Dan, Will Fleming was getting a little brushback. He was getting some chin music from San Francisco Giants fans, from San Francisco Giants media, and beyond that, you know, people were saying like, you're just making that up for ratings.
So our boy Joe Shasky giving Will Fleming the business.
Calling our boy a liar.
That's crazy.
We should get our guy. You know what? Maybe we should get our guy Shasky back on the line real quick from what was that? Morning Brew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morning Joe. Morning Brew. Hot Brew.
Morning out, cup of it, brew.
Yeah. Morning cup. Hot cup of sports out in the West Coast in San Francisco. It's in the Odyssey Family Network.
Yep.
He joined us a while ago. He was thrilled. Couldn't believe San Francisco stole Devers from the Sox. Just absolutely fleeced Fenway Sports Group with that one. Well, now we find out that Devers doesn't respond to Will Clark his first weekend that he's out there. And then San Francisco media has the nerve, has the Dan gall, if you will, to say Will Fleming was making that up. Well, I am here to tell you now, Dan Ball, that we have actually heard from some proper sources that Will Fleming did not, in fact, make this up at all.
Will Fleming got the receipts.
Mm. Will Fleming himself has passed along the receipts. Thank you, Stiz. We actually have audio. This is a little WEI Afternoon exclusive, East Coast style. Will Fleming sharing this with us just moments ago, that Will Clark responded to this. This is actually, Stiz, this is audio from where once again?
Yeah, this is Will Clark speaking with Eric Burns on the No Filter Network.
Okay, Will Clark speaking with Eric Burns on the No Filter Network, addressing the idea that Raphael Devers did not show up when he tried to reach out to him for some first base practice.
Okay, so yeah, Devers comes over from Boston,
Correct.
An opportunity to meet him.
Right. So Matt Williams and Bob Melvin want me to go out there and work with him around first base. No problem. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all, period. Not at all. Matter of fact, he didn't even hit on the field. But Raphael Devers, the next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base.
Hashtag justice for Will Fleming.
Hashtag receipts.
Let's go.
Hashtag
let's go,
burn Will. Notice.
Hashtag real Will the Thrill.
Respect the phlegm dog.
Yes.
Wow.
Also, Rafael Devers was either incredibly disrespectful or that's just Will the Thrill. But I really hope he did that on purpose.
I want it to be on purpose.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I wasn't sipping anything because I would have spit taken when he said Rafael Devers.
Good old Richie Devers out there playing playing first base.
You come to the crown,
Devers on tonight's episode. He doesn't show up for first base practice again. Oh, Devers!
Oh, that Devers! Can you believe it?
I mean,
why would anybody say it in my
Castiglione voice? Can you believe it?
No.
Will Clark texts you and says, "I'm in town. Let's get in some reps." And Devers says, "No." It doesn't even say anything. Just doesn't get back to him. Did his translator not read it to him? Did the messages get blocked? Did he think it was Poppy's number, so therefore he wasn't supposed to respond to it? That's a huge opportunity missed.
Next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base.
Hear that, Devers? You hear that? Of course, Fitzy, the answer is, I know San Francisco people are new to speaking Rafael Devers, but this is how this works. It's about Rafael Devers, what he wants in the moment. If he wants to hit, great. If I play third base, great. If a veteran and a face of the franchise and a pillar of the Giants franchise wants something from you, well, if it's not convenient with me, sick, go screw. Go sit and spin.
Rafael Devers?
That's right. Good old Robbie Devers telling him to go screw. Of course. Welcome to the Rafael Devers experience, San Francisco. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, enjoy it, honestly. What if in time history shows that the Red Sox are the ones who fleeced the San Francisco Giants, sending them Rafael Devers and his bad at it?
You guys know this. I was Team Devers, especially when it first went down. But after hearing Will Fleming's disposition yesterday, I was like, all right, there's a lot more stuff going on here than I thought.
Right?
Yeah. And that was the on-air stuff. Like the more you hear this, the more it was, there was something that needed to be removed for this team to go. And there's no, and Fitzy, you talked about the optimism around the Red Sox. 4 in a row, 6 of 7. I understand they're beating the bag off of bad teams, but there is at least a correlation between that trade happening and all of a sudden now everybody seems to be pulling on the rope in the same direction and the mistakes are starting to limit a bit more. And, you know, guys are performing better and there's more roster flexibility and lineup flexibility. Yes, you traded an all-time great bat, but you also traded a guy that brought a lot of negative with him. So there is a chance, to your point, that this trade ends up maybe not being a win, but definitely being less ugly than we thought it was at the time.
One, I am rare to push back against you, Danny Ballgame, but all-time great bat. He's a good hitter. He is a good hitter. I don't think Rafael Devers is going to go down as one of the 10 greatest DHs of all time or one of the 10 greatest left-handed hitters. If anything, you lost the leadership of Xander meant more to me than the left-handed power of Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers. Party of four, Rafael Devers.
That was a little strong now that I think about it. 280 and 30 home runs a season is not all-time great.
Rafael Devers.
Nope, that's a little high for Rafael Devers.
Maybe Devers is a better hitter. Who knows?
No, I mean, look, all I wanted from, immediately we all wanted to know why, and then we realized why, and then we hope that they got something back in return. But mostly, you know, neutralizing the salary and getting out from underneath the contract John Henry never should have signed because it was so reactionary in the first place. Okay, good for the organization, but I think we as a fan base, whether we are people that work in media that also watch the games, or if you're just a pure heart of a Sox fan, cradle to grave, I think all we just want is this trade to be a net zero for everybody. Like, hey, we got good enough players back. He's somewhere else. He's someone else's problem. Now the Red Sox don't have to deal with that contract as well. And hopefully, just hopefully, one day soon, we will go at least one day without talking about Rafael Devers. Exactly. Thank you very much. But I will say this, too. Good job. Not only was Will Fleming awesome with us yesterday and fearless in his desire to share some good information and not just do a cliche-ridden interview with us. He was great. I had friends texting me last night, this morning, Red Sox fans on the local and in the West Coast saying, whoa, man, we all have friends that root for the Red Sox that live in different places, Stanley.
Such a great story.
I'll go F yourself.
Rafael, that wasn't even me.
You are a Rafael Devers fan, you jerk. Oh, but like the fact that people were like responded to that interview and were lauding Will Fleming was awesome in the first place. But now that he had the receipts to back it up, bravo, Will Fleming.
Rafael Devers.
He has no seat at our table, but you are always welcome on my bar tab. Sir, 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, I promise you, we'll talk a little bit less on Rafael Devers and maybe more about some of the other things Will Fleming brought to the interview yesterday, like who could be some of the people going out and who may the Red Sox have on their radar if, in fact, they want to spend and be very active at the trade deadline in the offseason. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining WEEI Afternoons.
Rafael Devers.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Okay, so yeah, Devers comes over from Boston, correct, and you correct, have correct, an opportunity to meet him.
Right. So Matt Williams and Bob Melvin want me to go out there and work with him around first base. No problem. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he did not come out early at all, period. Not at all. Now, in fact, he didn't even hit on the field. But Rafael Devers, the next time I'm in San Francisco, your ass will be on the field at first base.
Now you see what I was dealing with. I need a drink just thinking about it.
Welcome back to the show, Breslow Bot.
Been a while.
It feels like it has been a while indeed. Craig Breslow, who's blank not only don't stink, but actually is smelling a little bit better day by day.
Yeah.
As his three big offseason acquisitions of Chapman, Bregman, and Crochet make the All-Star team. And it looks like we really got out from underneath one with the Rafael Devers deal. This is WEEI Afternoons. Thanks for jumping in with us, everybody. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens alongside Danny Ballgame here until 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson tagging in just a couple of minutes to join us for the three-point stances where we will cover a wide variety of topics with our hottest takes on the biggest sports stories. Of course, that audio was from Will Clark on the People's First Network, Stiz, once again. What was that on again?
The No Filter Network.
The No Filter, NFN.
You know it, you love it. Absolutely.
The name of the show is Deuces Wild.
It is indeed. He is. That's Deuces Wild on the No Filter Network. That was Will Clark saying that the first weekend Rafael Devers was in San Francisco, that he texted him, said he should join him for some first base work, and he got not a squat. Zilch in return from him as well. That backs up everything Will Fleming said yesterday. Many cuts from Will Fleming yesterday were worthy of discussion as well. Make sure, you use the Odyssey app or subscribe to WEEI Afternoons podcast if you want to catch that and all the latest good sports talk right here from Boston Sports Original. So let's get into some of the other stuff that Will Fleming gave us yesterday afternoon as well, Dan. Like when he mentioned that the Red Sox were going to spend big and really wanted to make big moves, hopefully at the trade deadline, perhaps this offseason. I think most people would rather that they do it sooner than later. But of course, the market gets a little more expensive usually at the trade deadline because the cost and demand of needing and wanting a starter, a reliever, a utility infielder, a power hitter goes up when you only have a couple of teams bidding on the services. That's just sort of the nature of capitalism. Were you at all surprised to hear that Will Fleming said that he believed the Red Sox were going to be big at the All-Star by the break?
I was very surprised. Yes, I was encouraged. But now my response, and I believe in Will's sources probably to a fault, but my response to anybody who's going to say that is, all right, show me, prove it. And he couched it a little bit with, they also may spend in the offseason. Mm-hmm. You can't, I can't stomach that. You can also spend in the offseason, and that's fine. But to your point, Fitzy, about how the economy works in Major League Baseball, if you are already targeting, say, Joe Ryan, the kid from Minnesota who Will talked about yesterday, hard-throwing right-hander, under team control until 2028, really interesting piece that they could target. Don't wait until, the 11th hour at the trade deadline to do it. If you feel the fervor of your fan base starting to grow, if your team's won 4 in a row and 6 out of 7, do it now. Make a bold move and say, we're here to compete and we're coming in gangbusters after the All-Star break. You can avoid some of that inflation that you're going to get as you get further into July.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden everybody could bid on him. Then all of a sudden the likes of Kyle Tucker or Joe Ryan, everyone may say, hey, it's a brand new season. We all should get in on this action. Let's actually hear from the man himself, Will Fleming, yesterday on the Red Sox desire to come after it and spend big.
They're going to spend. They are. I mean, like they're going to try to do it as hard as they can in the next 3 weeks. And then if it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen in the offseason. I'm telling you, with 100% certainty, they want to get right back in the higher echelon with all these young players getting involved. They're going to spend.
Okay.
Pretty definitive. That's definitive. Well,
remember a few weeks ago when he was in, it was Will, it was Lou, it was Andy, it was Ted, and he said something big was going down, that something big was actually going out, and that was, of course, Devers being sent to San Francisco. He hears things. He talks to a couple, several people on a regular basis, broadcasters, scouts, players, coaches, executives, front office people. Hell, Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow have a standing reservation every night at the Doug Lane Cafe that is the Red Sox broadcast booth
right.
to pop in and say whatever they wish. And Will gets to hear these things. He's officially becoming like a buzzy whisperer of Red Sox news. Dan, if you let's just play the would you rather game. Would you rather see the Red Sox put together a package of major league ready and major league actual talent from minors and majors both mm-hmm. to bring in a power right-handed bat to play first or a first to second tier starting pitcher who you could pair up nicely under cost control for a few years next to Garrett Crochet?
Starting pitching every single day and twice on Sunday. I think it's pitching in general, and I would even highlight bullpen even more so than the rotation because of how Andrew Bailey and company managed the bullpen and the fact that you've run a bunch of your relievers into the ground. So I would go pitching all day there. And Fitzy, just because it's being met with a lot of pessimism, as you can imagine, I'm thrilled that Will Fleming said it. This leadership group has bought themselves no benefit of the doubt of the fan base. So if you're going to say it and you're going to use, you know, full throttle 2.0, you got to do it because once again, there's going to be hell to pay if you don't.
Yeah, that's the problem is they're fighting the tide of disbelief and sentiment that they have created with their moves
right.
or rather their inaction over
the
last couple of years.
That's the only evidence we have at this point, unfortunately, and I wish there wasn't, but you have to buy and you can't also sell at the same. I can't say I'm buying Joe Ryan and trading Aroldis Chapman, and so that's what you need to do here.
Yeah, and Stiz, because you, as now postured on the show, represent the voice of the local superfan, you want a power hitter or you want a power pitcher?
I want a power hitter.
Ah.
I want them whacked out of the park.
I know. Chicks dig the long ball, Stiz. Atta boy.
I do. I would love, God, you know, it's not going to be Pete Alonso, but just, or somebody, a right-handed power hitting first. It'll be, let's see what happens when Yoshida, when Masataka gets back in tomorrow. Let's see what he can do over the next few weeks. You know, doesn't have a huge runway to audition for the part as well, but he's a professional hitter. Again, he's a lefty. They need one power right-handed hitter. I'm telling you, it would change everything. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the WEEI afternoon party. When we return, Ted Johnson tags in. It'll be the 3 o'clock hour. We've got three-point stances covering football, covering the Celtics, covering baseball. There's a little something for everyone, but that's just how we do here on WEEI afternoons.